Chapter 4. A Pale Young Gentleman. I returned to Satis House 6 days later. Estella met me at the gate and led me through the dark corridors with her candle. Suddenly, she stopped and turned to me.
"Am I pretty?" she asked.
"Yes," I said. "I think you're very pretty."
"And do you think I'm rude?"
"Yes, a little, but not as rude as last time."
Then she hit me in the face.
"What do you think of me now? Are you crying?"
"I'll never cry for you," I said.
But I was crying inside. As we walked up the stairs, we saw a man coming down. He was a big man with large hands, dark skin, and a large bald head. He wore expensive clothes and he smelled of soap.
"Are you a boy from the village?" he asked.
"Yes, sir."
"Why are you here?"
"Miss Havisham sent for me," I answered.
"Well, be a good boy. I've known a lot of boys, and many of you can be very bad."
He walked down the stairs, and I wondered who he was. Estella stopped at the door of Miss Havisham's room, and I went in.
"Are you ready to play?"
asked Miss Havisham, waving her fingers towards me.
"I don't think I am," I said.
"If you don't want to play, will you help me?"
she asked.
"Help me to walk."
She picked up a walking stick and stood up with my help. Then I helped her to walk out of the room. We went into a dining room across the corridor where there was a long table. Again, it was dark, and many years before, it had been ready for a meal, with a cloth, plates, knives and forks. But now, everything was old and dirty. In the middle of the table was something big and yellow, with spiders all over it.
"This is where they'll lay me when I'm dead," said Miss Havisham, pointing at the table. "Do you know what that is in the middle?"
"No."
"It's a wedding cake. Mine. Now, call Estella."
I called Estella and she came upstairs. We played cards and I lost, as before. When we had finished, Miss Havisham told me to come back in a week. And Estella took me downstairs, gave me some food, and went back into the house. While I was walking in the garden, I met a young gentleman with a pale face and fair hair. He was about my age, but taller.
"Hello," he said. "Who let you in?"
"Miss Estella."
"Come and fight," said the pale young gentleman. "But first, I must give you a reason."
And to my surprise, he hit me in the stomach. I hit him back and he fell to the ground. He stood up and tried to hit me again, so I hit him and he fell down again. He was never able to hit me, but each time I hit him, he got up again, ready to fight. I started to like him. He was afraid of nothing. After a few minutes, he stopped trying to hit me and told me that I had won. He shook my hand, said thank you, and I said the same to him. When I got back to the house, Estella was waiting for me with the key to the gate.
"You may kiss me if you like," she said.
She turned her cheek towards me, and I kissed it. I wanted to kiss her, but I knew that the kiss was just a reward for a poor boy and meant nothing to a haughty girl like her. Over the next year, Miss Havisham asked me to visit her 2 or 3 times a week. I did not see the pale young gentleman again. Estella was always there to let me in, but she never asked me to kiss her again. I helped Miss Havisham to walk around her house, and sometimes, if she was tired, I pushed her in a wheelchair, and she asked about my home, my sister, and Joe. At home, Mrs. Joe and Uncle Pumblechook wondered about Miss Havisham. Why was she inviting me to her home, and was she going to give me some money? One day, when I was walking with her, Miss Havisham stopped and looked at me.
"What's the name of the blacksmith you live with?"
"Joe Gargery, Miss Havisham."
"And you're going to be his apprentice and learn to be a blacksmith?"
she asked.
"Yes."
"Well," she said, "I think you should be apprenticed soon. Please ask Gargery to come here to discuss it."
2 days later, Joe came to Miss Havisham's with me. He closed the forge, put on his best clothes, and we walked to town with Mrs. Joe. My sister went to Uncle Pumblechook's, and Joe and I went on to Satis House. Estella opened the gate and took us into the house. Joe looked very uncomfortable in his best clothes and took his hat off, holding it carefully all the time we were there.
"Gargery," said Miss Havisham when we came into her room, "you're the husband of this boy's sister?"
"Yes, Pip," said Joe. "I married your sister when I was still a young man."
Instead of replying to Miss Havisham, Joe talked to me. It made me very angry, but I could not stop him.
"And the boy is going to be your apprentice?"
she asked.
"Yes, Pip," said Joe. "We've always wanted that, haven't we?"
"Sometimes an apprentice has to pay his teacher," said Miss Havisham. "Is Pip going to pay you?"
"No, Pip," said Joe. "I don't expect any money from you."
"Pip has been a good boy here," said Miss Havisham, "and I'm going to give him £25 to give to you. That is his reward."
She gave Joe a bag with the money in it.
"Well, thank you, Pip," said Joe.
"Goodbye, Pip," said Miss Havisham. "Will I come again, Miss Havisham?" I asked. "No," she said. "You're an apprentice now. You must stay with Gargery."
Then she turned to Joe.
"Pip has his reward. You're an honest man, and you'll not expect any more from me."
Estella led us out of the house, and Joe and I walked to Uncle Pumblechook's, where Mrs. Joe was waiting for us.
"Well," said Mrs. Joe, "what happened?"
Sometimes Joe could be very smart, and he showed it now.
"Miss Havisham," he said, "sends her very best wishes to this boy's sister."
"That's nice," said Mrs. Joe. "And what did she give him?"
"She gave him nothing," said Joe. "But she gave a reward to his sister."
"How much?"
laughed Mrs. Joe. She was actually laughing.
"Do you think £10 is fair?"
"Not bad," said Mrs. Joe. "It's not much, but it's not bad."
"It's more than £10, said Joe. "What would you say to £20?
"Good," said Mrs. Joe. "Very good."
"It's more than that," said Joe. "It's £25.
"That's excellent,"
said Mrs. Joe, taking the money from Joe.
"And thank you, Uncle Pumblechook. We're very grateful to you."
However, I was very depressed when I went to bed that night. I felt now that I did not want to be a blacksmith any more, although in the past I had wanted it very much. I realized that I was ashamed of my home and my family. I had been happy at home before because I was happy to be with Joe, but now I knew that it was a simple, poor, common home, and I did not want to be a dirty and uneducated blacksmith. I had seen a different life at Satis House. I wanted to be a gentleman, and I wanted to see Estella again. One Sunday, after I had been apprenticed to Joe for about a year, he and I were sitting by the river.
"Joe," I said, "could I have a half-day holiday tomorrow? I want to go and see Miss Havisham."
"Estavisham?" repeated Joe. He lit his pipe and looked at me. "I think you mean Havisham."
"Yes," I said. "I want to thank her and tell her that I'm learning well."
Joe thought it was a good idea. I was Joe's apprentice, but he had another man who worked for him in the forge. His name was Orlick, and he was a big, ugly man of about 25 who was always unhappy. Orlick had never liked me, and now that I was Joe's apprentice, he liked me less. Perhaps he was afraid I was going to take his job. The next day, I reminded Joe that I was going to have a holiday that afternoon.
"That's not fair, Joe,"
complained Orlick, putting down his hammer.
"If young Pip has a holiday, why not old Orlick?"
"Why?" asked Joe. "What will you do with a holiday?"
"What's Pip going to do?"
asked Orlick.
"He's going to town," said Joe.
"Well," said Orlick, "I'll go to town too."
Joe thought for a minute. "You usually work hard," he said to Orlick. "So I agree. Let's all have a holiday." My sister was standing outside the forge listening.
"You fool," she said to Joe. "Are you rich? You can't give holidays to lazy men like Orlick. I wouldn't if I were the blacksmith."
"You want to tell everyone what to do,"
Orlick told my sister.
"Don't speak to Mrs. Joe like that," said Joe quietly to Orlick.
"If I were the blacksmith," my sister told Orlick, "I'd tell you what to do. You're the laziest and ugliest man in England."
She was getting very angry now.
"Lazy and ugly," replied Orlick. "You know all about that."
"Don't speak to Mrs. Joe like that," Joe said again, quietly.
"What did you say?"
my sister shouted at Orlick.
"And with my husband here. Joe, do you hear what he's saying to me in my own house?"
Joe had to fight Orlick, and both men knew it. Nobody in the village could beat Joe in a fight, and soon Orlick was lying on the ground. I went upstairs to put on my best clothes, and when I came down, Joe and Orlick were working quietly side by side. That afternoon, when I reached the gate of Satis House, I walked up and down before I was brave enough to ring the bell. This time, the gate was opened not by Estella, but by Miss Sarah Pocket. Miss Pocket was a cousin of Miss Havisham's, and, like many of her relatives, hoped to get some money from her when she died. She sent me up to Miss Havisham's room.
"Well, Pip," said Miss Havisham, "I hope you don't want anything. You'll get nothing more from me."
"No," I said. "I wanted you to know
that I'm very happy to be an apprentice and everything is going well.
Good. I expect you want to see Estella, but you can't. She's travelling abroad. She's prettier than ever, and many men love her. Do you feel that you've lost her?
She laughed so cruelly that I did not know what to say, and I left as quickly as I could. I met Mr. Wopsle in town, and we walked back to the village together. It was a dark night, and we met Orlick on the road. He said that he had been in town too.
"I heard guns on the prison ships," he told us. "More prisoners have escaped."
As he spoke, we heard one of the guns. When we came into the village, it was after 11 o'clock, but the lights were still on in the pub. We thought that perhaps the police had caught one of the prisoners, but then the landlord ran out to us.
"Pip," he said, "go home quickly. Somebody attacked your house while Joe was out. It was probably a prisoner."
Orlick and I hurried home. People were standing around the house, and a doctor was in the kitchen with Joe. Mrs. Joe was lying on the floor. Someone had hit her very hard on the back of the head. On the ground next to her was a broken shackle. Everybody thought that the shackle was from one of the prisoners who had just escaped from the ships. But I knew it was my prisoner's shackle. I often wondered whether to tell Joe or the police where the shackle came from, but I never did.